بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. As we are all aware, the Ottawa Senators are in the playoffs. And a couple of months ago, pretty much the entire city, except for maybe a few loyal fans, had written them off, had written off the season, and there was no hope of making the playoffs. We were down in the dump, in the basement, and that was it. And then we have the remarkable story of the goalie, Andrew Hammond, coming in as a minor league player, turning the team around, setting a record, or more than one record. And actually, it goes to show, subhanAllah, how a person, when they are taken out of their environment and put into another environment, how a person's talents can really come out. Right? The circumstances change, a different type of pressure comes upon the person, there's a different group of people he is working with, and all of a sudden, a person who may be considered to be mediocre in doing something, or may not be shining, all of a sudden, starts to shine. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who makes things happen, but just a quick lesson here is not to give up, and not to just take things for granted, even with ourselves. Push the boundaries, push the limits, go into new areas. Personally, I know that I have benefited the most when I have taken myself out of my comfort zone. Okay, because we get used to certain things. We get used to being in a certain environment, being around certain people, doing certain things. And unless and until we push ourselves and go beyond that, we're never going to know, perhaps, what other opportunities we have and what other talents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Nonetheless, you know, as we came to the end of the season, there's a lot of hope. Right? All of a sudden, everyone is rallying around the team, and there's flags everywhere, and, you know, merchandise and prices are jacked up again, right? Because all of a sudden now the entire city has hope that we can make the playoffs. Because we make the playoffs. First game in, there was a huge controversy. You know, lose to Montreal. I was born in Montreal, by the way, so I'm not going to say more than that. You know, Mark Stone is slashed. There's an injury. Now there's fear and there's pessimism. There's a bit of hope as well, right? So, oh no, what's going to happen? We're losing one of our players. And, you know, are we going to be able to make it or not? You know, so there's a bit of fear that has crept in. But there's some who are also very hopeful as well. The reason why I mention this is because generally we find two prevalent attitudes or approaches in people. Okay, so you have people who are optimists, or you have people who are pessimists, right? So there are those who will see everything positively. Even the worst of situations, they're always looking at the bright side, right? So they're always looking at the cup half full, not half empty, always looking to the bright side. And generally, this is a good thing. You know, they're always finding some silver lining in any situation, no matter how difficult or terrible it may be. So they're always hopeful. And their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those who are believers, is hopeful as well. Right? So they're thinking of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're thinking about Allah's forgiveness. They're, you know, they have, you know, have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is all wonderful. This is great that we think well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, that Allah is as we imagine Him to be, or as we think of Him to be. But what happens sometimes is that this positiveness goes to the point where a person sometimes becomes careless about their deeds, unmindful about the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hopes of getting love and forgiveness. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful, it's okay. It's okay, I can do whatever I want, Allah will forgive me. Right? So it comes to the point where it's not really healthy anymore, because that love and that forgiveness, yes, that is all there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we too have a responsibility upon ourselves to maintain that relationship, so that hope in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be backed up by something as well. It shouldn't just be wishful thinking. So that's one side. On the flip side, we have the eternal pessimist. Okay? So everything is difficult. Everything is impossible. Every situation is hopeless. And, you know, it's based on fear. So there's like in their minds, there's the worst possible end for everything. And when it comes to deen, you know, even the most minor of mistakes is a matter of disbelief and doom and gloom. And anyone who makes a mistake or commits a sin is written off. And this group, pessimists, right, always focused on punishment and fear, to the point where people will even sometimes give up. Sometimes they will give up thinking that, you know, I'm already so bad. You know, I'm such a terrible person that I must be doomed to the hellfire now, so there's no point of trying. Okay, I'm a lost cause. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written me off, and there's no point of trying, and you know, I'm gonna get, you know, I'm messed up anyway, so I might as well just get worse. And this is actually a trick that shaitan plays upon us. And we should be careful that we never, ever, ever allow shaitan to play this trick, where he tries to convince us that we have gone beyond the point of no return. Because there is no point of no return as long as we are alive. As long as a person is alive, there is no point of no return. There's always an opportunity to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is always an opportunity to repent and to correct ourselves. Now in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about both aspects. He talks about both aspects. He talks about hope in His mercy. Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us hope. And He also strikes fear about His punishments. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does both in the Quran. For example, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Be sure, know that Allah is شديد العقاب, is severe in punishment, and that Allah is very forgiving and very merciful. Right? So Allah Azza wa Jal gives us both sides. And He tells us, for example, وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا, and invoke Him with fear and hope. So we learn that this is actually something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have at the same time. So have hope and also have fear as well when it comes to our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some qualities of the believers. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدَعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Their sides forsake their beds. They let go of their beds. Why? To invoke their Lord in fear and hope. So once again, we see both of those coming together. Allah Azza wa Jal also tells us one of the qualities of the prophets. وَيَدَعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. And they used to call us with hope and with fear. So both should be present. It should not be one-sided, where a person is tilting completely towards, you know, just hope and hope without backing it up with anything, and there's no fear, or tilting to the other side where it's all about fear and there's no hope. Now the question is, fear and hope of what? What are we talking about here? Fear and hope of what? So for the believer, there is a fear of a number of things. Okay? When it comes to our actions and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believer is not someone who takes things for granted. Is not someone who is satisfied with their condition and says, okay, I have said la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, I'm okay now, I have nothing to worry about, and there's no more work to do. Okay? Instead, the fear is there that the level of my faith, the condition of my faith, the level of trust that I have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perhaps not at the level that He wants it to be at. Perhaps I think that I'm doing good. Perhaps I think that, you know, I've believed and I trust Allah and everything, you know, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to. But perhaps it's not truly where it should be. Perhaps I haven't reached the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me. There's also the fear of turning to shirk, to polytheism, or to disbelief, or to nifaq, hypocrisy, especially at the time of death. See, my brothers and sisters, when the angel of death comes, that is the most difficult time in a person's life. Because it is a time of confusion. It is a time of pain. It is a time, a moment that a person has pretty much never experienced before. And there's many things going through a person's mind, thinking about their life, thinking about the things they were attached to, thinking about their loved ones, their wealth, or depending on what their mindset was, thinking about what's going to happen next. Right? So this is a time when Iblis, the shayateen, actually pounce upon a person and try to confuse them and try to get them to disbelieve. Because once that person leaves this world on iman, then that's another person that shaitan has lost. So there is an effort, especially at that time. So a believer is afraid, doesn't take iman for granted, is afraid that, you know what, who knows what circumstances I may go through in the future, and may Allah protect me from turning away from iman and losing my iman. There's also the fear that my worship may be lacking. It may be deficient. It may not be acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think I'm praying 5 times a day. I believe I am, I do it. I have performed hajj, I fast, I recite Quran, I give zakat, I do all of these things. But what if the quality of my deeds is not at the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be at? Right? When we buy something from the store, so you buy, I don't know, some fruit or vegetables, you buy one of those crates of clementines, oranges, right? And then let's say you look at it, you think it's fine, and then you look at the bottom layer, it's all molded and, you know, it's messed up. And most chances are you're going to take it back to the store. Right? You buy something, it's not the way you expected it to be. You order something online, you open the box, you know, something's broken, it's missing a piece, you send it back. Right? You're not going to keep it. It's, you know, goods that are deficient. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may do the same to us, and the believer is afraid of that. A believer is afraid, not confident of the condition of his or her worship. Because we know that we try our best, and many times perhaps we're not even trying our true best when we are offering salah and doing the different things that we're supposed to do. So a believer is worried that it may not be acceptable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا أَتَوْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. And those who give whatever they give, meaning in Allah's path, that their heart's full of fear. Now regarding this ayah, Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to, who give with their heart full of fear, who are these people? Are these the people who committed zina? Are these the people who committed fornication? And who stole? And who drank alcohol? And got intoxicated? Are these the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, that they give and they're fearful? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he said, no. These are the people who fast, who give sadaqah, who pray, but they're afraid that it may not be accepted from them. Right? These are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to in this verse. A believer is also afraid of the wrath and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. And forget about us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actually worried about this. And Aisha radiallahu anha again narrates that I never saw Allah's Messenger laughing loudly enough to enable me to see his uvula. Okay, so he never laughed so loudly that I would be able to see inside his mouth. But he used to smile only. And whenever he saw clouds or winds, signs of deep concern would appear on his face. I said, O Allah's Apostle, when people see clouds, or when people see clouds, they usually feel happy. Right? Especially in Arabia, it's a very hot climate, you need rain. So people get happy when they see clouds, hoping that it would rain. While I see that when you see clouds, one could notice signs of dissatisfaction on your face. Right? So Aisha radiallahu anha noticed this, that when clouds would appear, people would hope for rain, they would be celebrating, they would be in a happy mood, expecting rain, the mercy of Allah. On the other hand, the Prophet ﷺ would be concerned. You could tell that there's some concern on his face. He replied, "O Aisha, what is the guarantee for me that there will be no punishment in it, since some people were punished with a wind? Verily some people saw, they received the punishment, and while seeing the cloud, they said, هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا, that this is a cloud, this cloud will give us rain. Right? So there have been times when people saw a cloud coming and they got happy that this is going to give us rain, but in fact, it was the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be afraid of that, it would be conscious of that as well. When we recite Maliki Yawmiddin in Surah Al-Fatiha, we recite it like this, right? It flies by. But we are referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the master of the day of judgment. It should make us think about the fear, the uncertainty of that day, the day of the most important exam, the most difficult day ever. Right? There's extreme heat, people are drowning in their own sweat, no one is willing to help, family members running away from each other, right? Even the ones that are most closest to you in this life, no one can help each other, not even willing to give up one deed, one good deed, not willing to share amongst themselves. Right? You imagine how we feel when we're at the airport, if your flight is delayed by a few hours, or if there's a long line for security. Right? We know the agitation we feel. Okay, well that is going to be one long lineup. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Right? That whoever does good equal to the weight of an atom shall see it. So everything that we've done that's good, inshallah we will see it on that day. But then also whoever does evil equal to the weight of an atom shall see it. Right? So every single little misdeed, regardless if it was, you know, done in the darkness of the night, on our phones or our computers, our tablets when no one was around, whatever conversations we had, no matter what we deleted and wiped off our computers, everything is going to be there. So a believer is concerned about that as well. So this is what we have on the side of fear. But remember, it's about being balanced. It's about having both. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us hope as well, and it is the total opposite. Right? And the believer knows, recognizes that his or her worship is deficient. It's lacking. It's not the way it should be, but still has hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it even with the deficiencies. The believer has hope in Allah's mercy, hoping for forgiveness after repentance. Right? So it's not just vain hope. It's not just hope without any actions, but rather it's backed up by an effort. It's backed up by sincerity. It's backed up by a true desire to seek the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believer recites Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and that gives the believer hope that Allah is the most gracious, the most merciful. He's Al-Wadud, the most affectionate. At-Tawwab, the oft forgiving. So the believer has great hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His help, His assistance, and His care and His love. The believer thinks of the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ say, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, O my slaves, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves. When we sin, when we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we actually transgress against ourselves. Because there's no one else who's going to be hurt as much from our actions as we are, if Allah doesn't forgive us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Despair not of the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all sins. Truly He is all forgiving, the most merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, He's willing to forgive. But the desire needs to be there, that I want to seek Allah's forgiveness. I want to seek the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the scholars have said that we should have equal levels of hope and fear. That we should have equal levels of hope and fear. But most of the scholars have said that throughout the life, throughout our life, we should have fear over hope. And when we get closer to death, When death approaches, then we should have hope over fear. So we live our life not just, you know, relaxing with hope, but rather we are fearful and we make an effort and we continue to work to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that as our time comes to an end, then we have hope in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 3 days before his passing, لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, that let none of you die unless he has good expectations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what should be our state? We should have good expectations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we should die in that state. But there needs to be an effort that we make up to that point. Umar radiallahu anhu, famously known for saying this, that if it were announced from the heaven, and think who is saying this, this is Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, okay? Not someone ordinary. If it were announced from the heaven that, oh people, you are all entering paradise except one. Except one. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I would fear to be he, that I will be the one who is left out. And if it were announced that, oh people, you are all entering the fire except one, I would hope to be him. Right? So this is the level of hope and fear. That if everyone was going into Jannah except one person, he would be afraid that it would be me. And on the other hand, if everyone was doomed for punishment, except for one person, then I would hope that it would be me. So basically, as the saying goes, hope for the best, plan for the worst. Right? So we plan for the worst, that's what motivates us, and we continuously have an effort. We may keep making an effort, but at the end of the day, then we hope for the best, inshaAllah. The Prophet ﷺ once visited a youth, a young person who was about to pass away. The Prophet ﷺ asked, how are you? The boy replied that, O Messenger of Allah, I am in between hoping in Allah and fearing for my sins. So I'm in between these two. Prophet ﷺ said, the like of these two qualities do not unite in the heart. So the hope and fear do not unite in the heart of a servant except that Allah Azza wa Jal gives him what he hopes for and protects him from what he feared. So if a person has both present, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go for, will grant the one that is more positive, which is the hope, inshallah. So really the effect of all of this should be that it should take out arrogance from our minds and our hearts. Take away that certainty and, you know, this sense of entitlement within us. It should grow us in humility and sincerity and give us the desire to always try to improve. Always, always, always continue to try to build and improve and be mindful of which direction we are heading in. Are we going down or are we actually building and going up? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who have good hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us at the same time those who are sincere and humble in their actions. Now, very quickly, this concept extends to other areas of our life as well. We face challenges, we face problems. We may fear the negative result, right? That what is going to happen could be something negative. But at the same time, we should have good hopes as well. And a firm belief that after trying our best to deal with the situation, with the challenge properly, that whatever result Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us will be for the better, inshallah. Yeah, this is very important. So we try our best, fearing whatever may happen, but at the same time we have hope that whatever happens in the end, inshallah, will be khayr for us, there will be goodness for us. One of the challenges we are facing right now, especially Muslims in Canada, but all Canadians are, is regarding the new legislation, Bill C-51. Last night we had a workshop with NCCM and Muslim Link, and I was there as well. We talked about this new legislation. And we know that since 9/11, many Muslims have been unfairly targeted, have had their lives ruined, have faced difficulties crossing the border, having, you know, security clearances, being put on no-fly lists, being harassed, and so on and so forth. We know the situation, unfortunately. This new bill, which is expected to pass, unfortunately, takes existing laws, lowers the threshold upon which the authorities and the government can act against someone, okay, so making it easier for them to target people, and at the same time, there's no checks and balances. And there's no sunset clause, which means that this bill doesn't set at any time, right? Once it's on the books, it's there until someone decides to take it off. Okay? And it will likely stay for a very long time, and it is most likely going to make things much more worse. So this is the fear. Okay? It's important to note that the definitions of, for example, terrorism or support for terrorism in the bill are very vague. Okay? So it could really be interpreted in any way. It can really target anyone that the government doesn't like. And this should be concerning for all Canadians, not just for Muslims, but for all Canadians, because anyone could really be targeted through this legislation. Depending on what their activities are, if they're not liked by the government, they could be targeted. And this is a real concern. It's not just fear-mongering, but this is a real legitimate concern. Now, because it has majority support in the House, the bill will likely pass, but it is important that concerns and opposition be made known. We have four former prime ministers, okay, liberals as well as conservatives, 100 law professors, and former Supreme Court justices who are all speaking out against this legislation. Okay, so just because you speak out against it or you protest it doesn't mean that you're un-Canadian. Okay? There's former prime ministers, okay? Even a progressive conservative prime minister who's speaking out against it as well. Okay? So a lot of people are doing that. Initially there was high support for the bill, but that tide is now turning and support is coming down and opposition is rising, and there we have hope. So this is the time to build up the opposition, to speak up, and of course make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are a couple of petitions going around online. Just remember the websites, stopc51.ca and leadnow.ca. So both of them have petitions. So please go on. I have shared the links on Twitter and Facebook. Please make sure you sign the petition. Call your MP, especially if it's a conservative MP like we have here. I just called the office. And you don't have to tell your name. Just call and say, I'm calling because I'm concerned about this legislation. I am against terrorism, of course, but this legislation is not going to help. And I'm afraid that it's going to take away our civil liberties, and that is registered and is passed on. And they're actually saying that, yes, actually, you know, we are noting everything down. We are proposing some amendments and some changes. So they're feeling the heat. Okay, so this is the time to call and to speak up, inshallah. And if we don't speak up, that sends a very dangerous message, because this means that as a community, we don't care about our rights. You can go and trample over us, do whatever you want. No one's going to say a word. You can get away with it. Okay? And that's not the message we need to be sending. And this is a message that is being sent, not just by Muslims, but many other people and organizations across the country. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protect us, that He guide our leaders to make the right decisions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, our country, and all of our children, and everyone who lives here, inshallah. Quickly again, we did have a survey in the last couple of weeks that was filled here at Jum'ah prayer. So thank you, Jazakumullah khairan, to everyone who filled it out. Special thanks to those who are ready to volunteer and who gave their names and numbers and said contact us. So inshallah, we will be contacting you when the need arises. The results, alhamdulillah, are overwhelmingly positive. So we're in the process of analyzing the data, and inshallah we'll be publishing the results soon. This evening, inshallah, after Maghrib, so around 8 o'clock, in this hall across, in the mentor room across the hall, we will have a community task force meeting. This, we have serious issues with public perception with regards to Muslims and Islam, and we'll be making teams tonight, inshallah, to work in different areas locally. So this is happening in this room, and everyone is welcome to attend, is invited and encouraged to attend. Saturday, there will be a rally tomorrow, downtown, starting at Elgin and Wellington at 1 p.m. against Bill C-51. So everyone is encouraged to attend that, and I will try my best to attend as well. We also have the boys' youth program, Strive, at 5:15 to 7:15. New timing, 5:15 to 7:15 at the Hikma School location, which is Roger Saint-Denis, 186 Barrow Crescent. Finally, Islam Care Center will be holding a benefit dinner on May 10th. So coming up in a few weeks, 6 p.m. at the at Britannia Park. As you know, Islam Care Center has been doing some really great work. They need to build a new building downtown. They're providing social services and doing da'wah work, helping converts, doing a lot of great stuff. Tickets are available for $40. I have some with me. So please contact myself, and Brother Nasser Alto has them. Jazakumullah khairan.